amen. Thank you, choir and worship band, for another wonderful morning of worship. And I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Psalms. And we're going to be in Psalm 1 this morning. As you turn to Psalm 1, I want to reiterate what Brother Richard mentioned, and that is on December 7th, that evening at 5 o'clock, we're just going to have a great time of worship as part of a Christmas worship service. And so be here. Mark told me, hey, it's an interactive time, so we're going to be able to sing together and just experience a great time of worship as we prepare for Christmas. And then we all love fellowships. And so as soon as it ends, there's going to be a great time of fellowship in the Family Life Center. There'll be some light food for us to eat, but there's going to be things for the whole family. All right, there's going to be things the kids will want to be here for, like hot chocolate and cookie decorating and just stuff like that. So it's just going to be a good time. So I hope that you will make plans to be here on December 7th, not only for the morning service, but to come back for a great time as we really begin that great time of celebrating Christmas. Well, in Psalm 1, we have two choices that are presented to us. And we have two paths that we can decide to take. We either choose the Word of God, or we choose the world. We either walk with Jesus, or we go and we kind of float down the current of our culture. And what you and I decide on a daily basis will determine the kind of life that we experience and that we live. And in Psalm 1, it's going to describe to us how we can live and experience a blessed life, a happy life, a flourishing life, a fulfilled life. And so one path leads that way, and the other path leads to destruction. And so as followers of Jesus, we can experience a true life of blessing as a disciple of Christ. And so I want us to look at these verses in Psalm 1 and come away today with an understanding of the choice that's laid before us. And my prayer is that we will decide every single day to walk with the Lord in His Word as it leads to a life of flourishing. Let's read Psalm 1, starting in verse 1. It says, how happy, the Word of God says, how happy or how blessed is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Father, we ask that you would honor the reading of your word today. And God, we come to you this morning in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that Jesus, above all other things, that Christ would be exalted in this place. And that Christ would be in first place in all of our hearts. Lord, help us today to see how you have a wonderful life before us as your disciples. But to experience that life in its fullness and to flourish in that life, God, we have to choose Jesus every single day. Lord, we have a world that's trying all it can to get us to choose it. But God, you've shown us that your way is best and that you love us. So God, help us live that blessed life, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see in that verse 1, it says, how happy or how blessed is the one. And so this psalm really tells us how it is that we can have that blessed life, that happy life, that life that God desires for us. Now, when we hear the words happy or we hear the word blessed, that can be confusing to us because those words have become confusing over the years. Those words have been hijacked and they've been misused and misunderstood in the world and even in the church. We typically think of happiness as some type of fickle, fleeting emotion. Something that comes and goes, and it's really related to what's happening in our life. And so if things are going good, well, we would say we're happy. And if things are going bad, we may not be happy. And that's often how we think of happy. That's not what that means here in this verse when it says happy or how blessed. When we think about being blessed or blessing, oftentimes what we think about is being rich, or being healthy, or popular. Oftentimes when we think about blessing, our minds actually run to superficial things in this world. That's what the world wants us to think about. That's even some churches kind of teach that type of thing. That if you're blessed, it means you're going to have riches, and you're going to be healthy, and you're not going to have any problems. That's not what the Bible teaches. So what does it mean here when Psalm 1 says, how happy or how blessed is the man or the woman? And then it goes to tell us these paths that we can choose to take. Well, it's not about a fleeting emotion. It's not about being financially wealthy or healthy. And listen, all of those things are good, and there's blessing in that. But that's not the ultimate blessing that the Word of God is describing to us here. No, what the Bible is talking about when it talks about this blessed life, this happy life, is actually more of a state of being that we experience as disciples of Jesus. It's a blessing that we experience regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what we're experiencing in our life, the mountaintops and the valleys. We find ourselves in those places in life, but through it all, we can still know and experience the happiness, the blessing of being in Christ. It's really a deep-seated joy in our hearts that comes through knowing Christ and abiding in Him and His Word. That's what the Lord God gives us when we come to Him by faith and we walk with Jesus on a daily basis. He gives His disciples not a superficial happiness, but a state of being that flourishes in all of life. It's that knowing Christ and being consumed and embracing His Word, it's that we have this love in our life that comes from God. Joy in our life that comes from God. We call this the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things that come from God as He gives them to us in deep in our heart and in our soul and in our spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, so that whatever's happening in our life, whatever's happening in our world, we know that we are blessed because God has blessed us. He's blessed us with Himself, with His fruit. Well, before God tells us how to really, in a positive way, live and have that blessed life, He gives it to us first in a negative way. So I want you to go back and look at this verse 1 again with me. But it says, how happy is the one who does not walk. Okay, so what He's doing here is he's showing us two different paths, and one path is a path that we should not walk as followers of Jesus. And so He says, how happy is the one who does not walk this way, who does not do these things? And what's it say? Does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. I'm going to call this Happy is the one who does not embrace the world. Okay? So if you're taking notes, you might write that down. Happy is the one who does not embrace the world. The world that we live in is a current of culture that will drag you down to destruction. When Chelsea and I were first married, we had a great opportunity, and we were able to go to Cabo San Lucas on a vacation. I'd only been to like these, you know, small beaches in South Carolina. I'd only seen small waves. And when I got, and I love getting out in the ocean. Like if I go to the beach, I'm getting out in the ocean, I'm swimming around in the ocean. Well, while we were there, I mean, these are massive waves. I mean, just one after another. Bang! Just, I mean, you could hear it from way up at your room. Just, you could hear the waves crashing. Bang! Bang! Big waves coming. A rush of water hitting the shoreline. And there were signs that said, don't go swimming out in the water. I think you know where I'm going with this. But there were other people, and other people were going out and swimming, and we were talking to some people. I said, yeah, you can go out there. And so we listened to what some other people were saying, and I convinced Chelsea, hey, let's go out there and let's go swimming in the ocean. And so we really didn't have much trouble getting out. And we were able to get out, and we were out there pretty deep where you kind of were just kind of floating around, and man, you were just past the breakers, and so, man, it was relaxing, it was fun, it was really calm. We were just having a great time. But then all of a sudden, we decided, okay, it's time to go in. And so we listened to other people, we went out there, we hung out there for a while, but now it's time to get in, and that's when the problems hit. Because as we started trying to get in, we couldn't get out. Because these, once we got past the breakers, as we tried to get back, wave after wave was coming and crashing on us and crashing on us and pulling us down and turning us upside down, dragging us in the water. And I mean, I never seen anything like it before. When those waves hit, when the undertow came back, I mean, it sucked you back out. Okay? One of us had to have a lifeguard get us out of the, I'm not gonna tell you who it was. Okay. And here's why I tell you that story. That's what the world is and can be for us. Okay? Is if we're not careful, we're going to listen to what the world says. We're going to listen to people that are of the world that do not follow Jesus. And we're going to follow them out to a place, and it might seem fun and beautiful and relaxing and great and good. We might have a little bit of fun while we're out there, but there's going to come a time when we try to get out. But when we try to get out, man, it's going to be destructive, and it's going to be difficult, and it's going to turn you over and wash you around and turn you around and harm your life. That's what we see happening here in this psalm. There's a progression of negativity. There's a progression of a downward spiral in this person's life when God says, do not go this way. Do not listen to the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. Do you see the progression? What happens first? God says what happens first is people begin listening to the wrong advice. They begin listening to the advice of the wicked. What or who do you listen to today? Ask yourself that question. Who do you listen to? What is your source of information? What is directing you in life? Unfortunately, most people listen to the wrong voices. Most people listen to CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or some other news station. Most people listen to podcast, whoever the hottest new podcast is that is spewing whatever they think might be accurate. News personalities, social media, so many people are listening to the advice of social media. I was just in the car repair shop on Friday, and there was a guy probably in his 70s, had his phone out, and he had it blasting. He was watching some video, and I just overheard it say, the 7 things you need to do to live a successful life, and I just kept walking. I'm like, you don't have it figured out yet? I mean, because here's the issue. We're all looking for the truth. We're all looking for what's going to lead to a successful, a happy, a blessed, a flourishing life. Well, God says, I'm telling you what you need. And it's not the podcast, it's not the news, it's not the latest personality that has something to say, it's not self-help gurus. It's not even friends that you surround yourself with who are far from God. If you're not careful, you'll listen to your friends, and if your friends are far from God, you're not going to get the right kind of advice. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't hear what I'm not saying. You need to have lost friends. I truly believe that. Do you know why you need to have lost friends? It's so you can lead them to Jesus. And if you don't have any lost friends, you're not going to be leading anybody to Jesus. You need lost friends so that you can invite them to come be a part of our church, because you know that the gospel's going to be presented when they come. And they'll have a chance to respond and trust in Jesus and be saved. You need lost friends, but those lost friends can't be really your best friends. They can't be the people that you're spending the majority of your time with, because if you're only with them, you're only going to listen to their advice, and their advice is going to be the advice of the world. When you listen to the advice of the wicked, something starts happening. Here's what it says in Psalm 1. It says, it then progresses to standing in the pathway with sinners. And so first we see listening to the advice of wicked, but then we see this person is now standing in the pathway with sinners. What that means is this person now moves to lingering around and engaging in sin. So what you listen to is going to affect the decisions you make and the places you go and where you're spending your time. Sin leaves you unfulfilled. Now that's what the world wants to lead you to, is sin. But sin leaves you unfulfilled. Sin leaves you empty. Sin leaves you without happiness. And so if you listen to the wrong voices, all of a sudden you're going to be spending your time and standing in the pathway with sinners, and you're going to start engaging in the things that those sinners are engaging in. But then he says there's even a further progression downward. And it leads to sitting in the company of mockers. Who are these mockers? Well, those are people who mock God. And I know I mentioned to you news personalities and people you see on podcasts and social media and all these voices. And if you really think about it, and if you'll watch and listen, you're going to find out that people that do not know Jesus, they usually make fun of God. That's what it's talking about. People who mock God. They laugh at God. They think the ways of God are silly and foolish. And that's exactly what the world does. But what this means is literally that this person who listens to the advice of the wicked and stands in the pathway with sinners, eventually that person sits in the company of mockers. What that literally means is that this person joins those who mock God and dwells with them. Let me put it another way. All of a sudden, this person goes to living in that sin and living in that state of being, living in the company of those who are far from God, and they make that place his home or her home. If you and I are not careful, we will choose the path that leads downward. It starts with what you listen to, then where you linger, and then finally where you end up dwelling and spending all of your time. Psalm says, how happy, how blessed is the one who does not go that way. But it goes on to say, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He meditates on it day and night. If you're taking notes, I would say this: happy is the one who embraces the word. There's your choices. You're either going to embrace the world, or you're going to embrace the word of God. He says, instead, he delights, he meditates on God's word day and night. If you are going to be a deep-rooted disciple of Christ, if you're going to be someone who lives a flourishing life, then you must delight yourself in the word of God. I hope you have a Bible with you today. I really do. Listen, if you don't bring your Bible to church, I'm going to encourage you, bring your Bible to church. I want to see you with Bibles. This is the word of God, all right? If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Because you need your Bible more than just when you come to church. You need your Bible every day. You need your Bible by your bedside in the morning. You need to take your Bible with you when you go to work. Kids, you can take your Bible to school. Don't let any teacher or anybody else tell you that you can't take your Bible to school. Okay? And if you get in trouble, you say, my pastor told me, and then let me know, and I'll come down there and talk with whoever I need to talk with. That's what I believe about it. Listen, this is God's word, and you have a choice. You either choose the world, or you choose Jesus and his word. And he says here, he delights in the word, the law of God, the word. You've got to love the word of God. Listen, the things you delight in, you spend the most time doing. The people you delight in, you spend the most time with. If you're married in here today, you know what I'm talking about. You delight yourself in your wife, husbands, and you better. You delight yourself in your wife. Ladies, you delight yourself in your husband, and because of that, you love them, and you spend time with one another. You want to spend time with one another. You have to spend time with one another. When you're away from one another, you can't wait to get back together so you can be with one another because you delight in one another. You love one another. And don't you know this? Because I know this in my life, 14 years married. I love Chelsea more today than I loved her the day we got married. Because the more time I spend with her, the more I love her. And the more I love her, the more I want to spend time with her. And if you're not married in here today and you're single, that's what marriage is going to look like for you. And so you find you somebody that loves Jesus, and then you can love Jesus with that person, and you will delight yourselves in the Lord, then you'll delight yourselves in one another, and you'll see that you just continue to grow and grow and grow in your love for one another. But let me ask you something today. Do you love Jesus and his word in that way? He says here, delight yourself in the Lord's instruction. Delight yourself in the Lord and His word. Meditate on it day and night. That's why it says meditate on it day and night. Because you want to meditate on it day and night. It's not a, oh, I have to. Oh, no. Great. I've got to do this. No, the more you walk with God, the more you're in His word, the more you're going to love God, the more you're going to love His word, and you're going to want to be in His word. You're going to want to meditate on it day and night. You want to be in the word, praying the word, thinking on the word, sharing the word. That looks like having a morning devotion time. It looks like listening rather than some wacko podcast. You're listening to something about the word of God. You're spending more time praying, and you're praying the word of God as you think about all that God's been teaching you from His word. You're memorizing the word of God, and you're quoting that word of God. You're sharing that word of God with other people because, man, you love God, you love His word, and you want to tell somebody about the one that you love in His word. Listen, the person, it says here, that delights in the Lord's instruction and he meditates on it day and night. This is a deep-rooted disciple. Look at verse 3. It says, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears fruit, that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Whoever put this up here, thank you. I'm pulling the clock out. All right. All right. He is like a tree. Listen, look at what this says here. This is a picture that God gives us. He says, this is what the flourishing life looks like. This is what the life of a disciple who's walking with God in His word looks like. He says, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams. You know what makes a tree healthy? Deep roots. What makes a tree healthy is it has a source of water, and those roots suck that water in. They pull the nourishment from that water in, and it supplies what that tree needs. And the more it pulls in, the stronger and deeper those roots go, the higher and taller and stronger the tree grows. The roots of the tree is what make it healthy and strong as it draws in and it feeds that tree. It says here that this person is like that tree. That as you walk with Christ and as you walk in His word and you desire it, delight in it, that you're like roots that are just pulling in the word of God into your life, and it's making you healthy and strong, a tree that bears fruit. Now, don't miss it here. It says it's planted by streams. I was trying to think in my mind if I've seen that. And maybe I have seen it, but it didn't come to my mind. But usually what you'll see is like one stream, and you'll see, you know, trees on both sides of a stream. You know, those trees are really strong. They grow, those root systems are big and strong. But this doesn't say that this is a tree planted by a stream. It's really powerful when you look at it. It says this is a tree planted by streams. It's a tree that has been planted. And here's the picture, if you will. It's planted between two streams running on both sides of it. So if you would think about like a Middle Eastern desert, and there it is, and if you wanted to have a healthy, strong tree, and you were to plant that tree out in the desert, it's not going to survive, is it? No. But if it has two channels, two irrigation channels running beside it, that somebody's put in there, and that tree's planted between those irrigation channels, what's going to happen? Those roots are going to grow out. They're going to grow deep. They're going to pull in that water, and it's going to be a strong tree. That's what God is saying here. God is saying, listen, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord and His word, you will be like a tree planted beside those streams. It says here, bearing fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. What is the purpose of God's blessing in your life? I've got no doubt. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, who in here is blessed? Probably every hand in this place would be raised. Here's the question. What's the point of God's blessing in your life? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. God has blessed you, and he blesses you so that he can bless others through you. Does a tree bear fruit for itself? No. That apple tree doesn't bear fruit so that it can eat its own apples and that helps it get better and stronger and more healthy. No, that apple tree bears those apples so that you can come along and pick that fruit. Somebody can come along and harvest that fruit, and it blesses us. It blesses someone else. Listen, the reason God blesses you in your life is so that you can be a blessing to others. Jesus' desire is to reach this world for himself. And when he saved you, and when you became a disciple of Christ, and as you walk with the Lord, your love for the Lord grows, your love for others grow, and God blesses you so that you can bless others and point them to the one who has saved you, Jesus Christ. I want to just close with this. Not only is it happy is the one who embraces the word, but we started off talking about these two ways. There's two ways clearly described in this psalm. Two ways. I'd submit to you today, above everything else, Jesus is the way. It's not so much a path, it's a person. It's Jesus. Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus put it like this. In Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." You know what Jesus is saying? Just like Psalm, there's two roads, there's two paths, there's two ways, there's two gates. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. In John 14, 6, here's what Jesus says. He kind of takes it a little bit further and helps us understand this. Jesus says, "I am the way." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into the Father except through me." So he says there's a narrow way. What is that narrow way? Well, that narrow way is Jesus. He says, "I am the way." You go into another chapter in John, the next chapter over, you go to John chapter 15, and here's what Jesus does. He tells this great parable to his disciples, this metaphor to them, and he's with his disciples, and he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the vine dresser." Just like this tree planted in Psalm 1. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Here's what he says. And he says, "Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit." Here's what Jesus is saying. You want to have a blessed life? You want to have a fulfilled life? You want to have a life of meaning? It starts with trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in him being your way, him being your Lord, him being the vine in whom you abide in. And that's what it's telling us to do right here. Psalm 1 is telling us, abide in Jesus Christ. Delight yourself in him. Delight yourself in his word, and you will live a life of flourishing, a fulfilled life. Let me ask you something today. Which path are you on? Which way are you going? Do you find yourself this morning that you've been listening to all the wrong voices? And it's taking you down a downward spiral, down the wrong road. Well, all of that can change right now. It can all change right now. Because if you will surrender your life to Jesus, here's what he'll do. He will take you where you're at. He will pick you up. And he will plant you beside those streams of living water. And you can begin a life of abiding in Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you today that you have provided the way to life, the way to eternal life, God, the way to flourishing, the blessed life. And it's the life that abides in Jesus. Lord, if there is any person in this room today that is on that wrong path, and today they know they need to surrender their life to Jesus and be planted by those streams of living water, then God, lead them right here in a moment to come to the front and say, Pastor, today I surrender my life to Jesus. Lord, maybe there's some in this room today that they follow you, Jesus, but they're starting to be influenced by this world and they're recognizing it today. Lord, help them today to say, God, I repent of that. I turn from that. God, help me to delight in you and your word. Lord, you do a work right here in these moments. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come as we sing. I'm going to stand down front.